Dialing 8th and Walton. Conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton Conference Call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you for dialing up the 8th and Walton conference call. My name is Jared Davis, and I have some great things to talk to you about today and some fantastic guests. Let me tell you about our great guests first. I had the pleasure of attending the Trends in Technology Conference, which was hosted by the Center for Retailing Excellence at the University of Arkansas. Linda Dillman, retired CIO of QVC, was one of our guests, and we had that interview coming up for you here in just a few minutes. A little bit later on in the show, you're going to hear me interview Ms. Bridget McDermott, who is Vice President of Blockchain Development at IBM. Fantastic interview, and Bridget has a passion for blockchain. You're going to see that come through in the interview. But you know what? I've got to take care of some serious business right now. I need to tell you about one of my favorite people, you. Yes, you, who was nice enough to download this podcast. You know what? The 8th and Walton Conference Call is not just here to talk to industry leaders, give you some interviews and headlines about what's going on in the business. We're here to take care of you, too, because we know what it's like out there in the retail and supplier world. We're in it every day, sitting and typing and emailing and looking at spreadsheets, and it's dangerous. Are you sitting down? That's the problem. That's what I want to talk to you about. The human body was not created to sit for long periods of time, and people in our industry are suffering tremendously. You may not think about it, but let me give you some facts. Here's what happens when you sit down in that chair first thing in the morning. The electrical activity in your leg muscles shuts off. Calorie burning drops to 1 per minute. Enzymes that help break down fat drop 90%. And listen, if you're sitting for more than 6 hours at a time, and I've done it too, I've been guilty, but that puts you at risk for heart disease. It actually increases by up to 64%. Also, you're shaving off at least 7 years quality of life when you sit and are motionless for that long. You're also more at risk for certain types of cancer. Okay, it's not all gloom and doom, though. This is just kind of the warning signs. Don't sit for 5 to 6 hours at a time. That's a long stretch. Here's the good news. You don't have to go out investing in, you know, some standing desk, or you don't have to sign up for a crazy 2-hour jazzercise class. Simply make it a point to stand up and move around once an hour right there in the office. Look, don't roll around in your chair when you got to go to the printer. Get up and walk. Don't email somebody else in your building. If you can, get up, walk, and have that conversation. Just getting in motion every hour to avoid sitting for so long will help your health and improve your quality of life. And when that happens, you and I get more time together. And that's all I want. Please get up and get in motion at least once an hour. All right, now that I put my heart out there and you know how much I care about you, let's get on with this. Oh, you know what? Emma, would you cue up the interview? We are going to go right to Miss Linda Dillman, who is retired CIO of QVC. Absolutely love speaking with Miss Dillman, and we're going to get right to it. That is cut number six. Emma, cut number six.
Linda, great to speak with you today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you've got experience with traditional retail, and you've also gone to the QVC format. What do you see as the difference kind of behind the scenes?
There's a difference in the model. QVC, for example, QVC isn't the place you go when you already know what you're going to go buy. It's a place of discovery. So you go find new items that are interesting and exciting. But the most interesting difference between traditional bricks and mortar and this kind of retail is it's extremely responsive. You can change in the moment what you're selling and who you're selling it to, and react to what's happening both with your customer and in the world.
I loved hearing your presentation, all the behind the scenes things, and it's actually happening in real time, the adjustments that you make on air. Going from that on air presence, how does that translate now to an e-commerce customer?
So two things. Number one, we started with e-commerce being a companion or a supporting tool for the air. But the things that we've tried to capture are that discovery and storytelling. So how do we make sure every time you go into our site that you find something new and interesting that's meaningful for you, something you'd be interested in? And then how do we tell the stories about it? Because it's one of QVC's strengths is that maybe the person who created the product will tell the story and they'll show you how to use it. You'll get feedback from other customers. So we capture all of that in e-commerce.
Now, speaking of QVC's strengths, great mobile sales right now. What is driving that?
You know, really what is driving it is, number one, we embraced it early. And we took the time to understand how our customer uses their mobile devices. So we didn't just make it a watered down or smaller version of what we showed on our website. We actually tried to understand, when she uses her smartphone, what is she using it for? And how do we design the experience to make that the most effective for her?
And for any supplier who's thinking of making that jump or trying to actually improve their e-commerce, what advice would you give?
Content. It's all about content. You know, when you're out there, it's what the customer can see. And the best way you can tell her or him about your product, it's images, it's, you know, the descriptions you write, it's getting your search keywords right so they can even find you.
Well, Linda, we appreciate you being here and thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.
Is your team ready for Walmart's new on-time in-full guidelines? It's not too late to get prepared. Ethan Walton's OTIP class is your first step to optimizing your supply chain performance and execution. When your team goes through the OTIP class, you'll learn Walmart's expectations for on-time in-full shipments, how OTIP relates to MABD, how to pull and navigate your OTIP scorecard, how to prevent fines, how to build an OTIP action plan for your company. Once you learn how to use the OTIF scorecard, checklist, and action plan, you're on your way to meeting Walmart's OTIF goals. Classes are happening near you now. Visit EthanWalton.com for more details and to sign up.
We're back on the Ethan Walton conference call. As I promised, coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to be speaking with Miss Bridget McDermott from IBM. But first, let's hit a few fun headlines. Let's get right into some of the retail wars going on. Retail wars can be compared to real war sometimes. You know, whenever you're talking about a real war, you've got the ground war and you've got the airstrikes that go on. So Walmart, being the world's largest retailer, competitors are always going to war with Walmart. And Amazon kind of feels like the airstrikes, right? Because that's mainly going online. That's the airstrike war. Well, you know who's making a big move to challenge Walmart in the ground war, sort of store to store? Lidl, our old friends at Lidl, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. And I will say this, Walmart does recognize the seriousness of this move for Lidl to the United States because they've already seen this battle go on in the UK. As you know, Walmart's Asda stores are there in the UK, and Asda has failed to grow their sales for 13 consecutive quarters, whereas the German competitors in the UK, Lidl and Aldi, they've captured about 12% of the total market. And I want to say there's a great blog that was posted this week by our old buddy Mike Paglia of Kantar Retail. Mike, if you're listening, I really enjoyed reading this. I hope everybody goes out and reads. The title is Lidl Countdown, The Clock is Ticking to June 15 Launch. Great blog. And one of the nuggets that was in Mike's blog was Lidl is claiming that U.S. shoppers can expect to pay grocery prices that are up to 50% less than supermarkets that are here in the United States. That's part of the big disruption. And I got to say, Walmart does recognize this, and they are taking steps for the summer premiere of Lidl. The Wall Street Journal reported that Walmart is appealing to suppliers and asking them to keep their prices low. And Walmart really is trying to make shopping more convenient in stores for customers with their scan-and-go technology and keeping the stores in stock with help from the new on-time in-full initiative. So this Lidl versus Walmart ground war is going to be really interesting to watch. We'll have another report here around June 15. Okay, so that's what's happening in the ground war. Now, what's happening in the airstrikes? What is Amazon up to? Well, what's the big buzz here in the United States? Healthcare. Who's looking at entering the healthcare sector and taking healthcare to Americans? Amazon. Amazon is looking at getting into the pharmaceutical business, believing this is a good time to make a big healthcare sector splash. People that are very close to Amazon have reported that, at least for the last few years, Amazon has held one annual meeting at its Seattle headquarters to discuss whether or not it should get into the pharmacy business. But this year, with the rise in high deductible plans and the trend toward customers paying for their own health care, it is ready to get more serious. Not to mention that pharmaceuticals, you know, this represents a $300 billion business here in the United States. Now, as you know, Amazon will test these kinds of initiatives in markets outside the United States before bringing them home. And Amazon has been testing a prescription business already in Japan. So, my own prediction, here's my impression of me this time next year in my apartment. Alexa, I need a Valium. Finally, last thing in the headlines, I want to pay a compliment. You know what? Last week, I really gave a hard time to the Sears CEO for this crazy interview that he gave the press. This week, you know who I want to tell you about? Marvin Ellison. Marvin Ellison is chairman and CEO of JCPenney, and he came out with a statement here recently about a new business venture for JCPenney. They're getting into the hospitality industry. Take a listen to this initiative. This is, well, actually, it's coming at a great time because JCPenney got off to a very slow start in the first quarter and didn't have great sales. So instead of going out blaming the press and throwing a big tangent, you know what Mr. Ellison did? Mr. Ellison announced that JCPenney is offering this new initiative, business-to-business solutions for the hotel and lodging industry, as well as some multi-unit residential industry. They've launched this whole new program to supply hotels, vacation rentals, and properties managed by commercial property groups with blankets, pillows, towels, window treatments, and even some of the major appliances. JCPenney is putting together a whole outside sales force for this initiative. Here's a quote from Mr. Ellison. I thought it was really nice. He says, "The U.S. hospitality industry represents approximately $200 billion annually and a significant opportunity for JCPenney to gain market share and drive increased revenue per customer with major appliances and a renewed focus on soft home goods." That's the way you act when you're a chairman and CEO. Hats off to our person of the week, CEO of the week, Mr. Marvin Ellison. We appreciate you, sir. That's going to wrap it up for the headlines. Okay, as I mentioned before, at the recent Trends in Technology conference, I had the pleasure of talking with Ms. Bridget McDermott, who is Vice President of Blockchain Business Development at IBM. So, Emma, can we roll that interview? That is cut number two.
Great to meet you, Bridget.
Pleasure to meet you. Great to be here.
So here's the big question. For those that don't know, what is blockchain technology?
Well, blockchain is all about trust. What blockchain is, it's the ability to put information onto a system of record such that all parties have permissioned access to it in a trusted manner.
You can always tell when the speaker is very passionate about what they're talking about. When I was watching your presentation, you described this as one of the sexiest things happening in innovation and retail right now. Why is this so revolutionary for retail?
This is revolutionary in general. And our CEO often says blockchain has the ability to transform transactions the way that the internet transformed communications. If you think about it, this is a fundamental step in what is possible in the processes of not just retail, not just supply chain, not just manufacturing, but all businesses and all transactions that we do globally. But what matters is you have the ability to start thinking about everybody in your ecosystem as part of the business that you're doing. Because you trust the information that you are sharing across your ecosystem, and because you know that you can control who has access to information, you're able to think differently about the interactions, you're able to work differently with the folks in your ecosystem, and you're able to increase efficiencies, reduce cost, and speed up the delivery of, at the end of the day, the service that you're providing to the customer.
And for our suppliers who are just now becoming familiar with blockchain, how does the blockchain technology impact supply chain visibility?
So blockchain can provide real benefits to supply chain visibility. What it does is it provides transparency into where goods are at any stage. And it does this by making sure, or it can do this, by making sure that people have the information at the right time. Because right now, maybe the manufacturer has some information, the carrier has some information, the retailer has some information, the regulator has some information. But everybody would be better served if for that particular transaction, everybody had access to that information. You could do better demand management by knowing where things were in the cycle. You could do better process planning. If you're doing short shipments, you have better ability to see, you know, how, what the difference is, how great the need actually is. You can prioritize better if you have a more holistic view of what's going on. And what has prevented us from making this sort of leap in changing supply chain visibility has not been an inability to digitize. Right. We've been able for years to put information into digital formats. The question has been whether we are able to trust the information and share it effectively between all of the parties. And what blockchain does is say, hey, we're going to take advantage of all of the innovation that has happened around data and around analytics. But what we're going to do is we're going to provide this transformation where trust actually happens and where people can use the data effectively in ways that they couldn't before.
Richard, we appreciate you being at the conference. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure. This was fun.
Oh, you know what the music means. It's time to end another 8th and Walton conference call. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Jared Davis reminding you, yes, there is a difference in a manager and a leader. We get it. Could we please post about something else on LinkedIn?
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at athanwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands, are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.